The U.S. Agency for International Development's learning more about the countries it works with thanks to a few new open data projects. The agency recently hosts its first ever open data hackathon. More than 100 participants worked on 8 different projects. Alana Marsili is an open data specialist at USAID and led the hackathon. It's terrific to have you on the program this afternoon, Alana. Tell us about this and what the point of it was, who you got involved. Thanks for being on today.
Thanks so much for having me. I'm excited to be here. So we released a policy which requires all award-funded projects to submit their data. So that was kind of a starting point, and we thought, well, why don't we invite the public into our data and start to really think about how we can generate new insight into development challenges. So we were interested in, you know, how can it inform strategic planning, implementation, monitoring, and evaluation, and our ability to achieve results. Regionally, we chose to focus on Central America and Mexico. As you may be aware, Central America is one of the most violent regions in the world. Honduras and El Salvador have the highest murder rates. So USAID and USG at large have allocated significant resources to address the ongoing crisis. So we basically opened up a bunch of public opinion data that we've been funding through Vanderbilt University and collecting for the past decade. It's really rich data, and it has never been in machine-readable format. So we opened that data. We used our evaluation data, which is available at the Development Experience Clearinghouse, our foreign assistance data, which is our funding flows, and we just started inviting people from all over the hacking world, the policy world, and we got some great turnout. And yeah, they came into the room. We had 4 cities hacking, Boston, New York, D.C., and Guatemala. And they were able to produce 8 really interesting projects.
We'll talk about the winner in just a moment, but what were the criteria that you used to decide who the winner would be?
So we basically brought in Dan Keating. He is a visualization expert for Washington Post. And then we also had our CARSI program lead, as well as lead on the public opinion data, Vanessa Riley, and Brandon Bajowski, and he's our chief data officer. So the 3 of them used a criteria from Desarrollando America Latina, and it, basically they created a platform which looked at, you know, is this scalable? Does this make sense of the data? Can it be used as a baseline? And so with these metrics, the 3 judges conferred on the projects, and that was how they came to the conclusion.
You mentioned the winner. It was Futures Group Guatemala, and the title of it, Virtualizations of Northern Triangle Perceptions of Crime and Violence. And as I read through the details of this, it strikes 2 things kind of jumped out at me. One of them is that on the surface, it appears that, well, the application here is fairly limited to this particular area of expertise, but under the hood, it's likely that there are applications here that you could apply all across, not just USAID and not just across trying to understand crime and violence information, but trying to understand any kind of information all across the government. Am I on the right track?
Yes, absolutely. So that was one of the things, you know, it might seem counterintuitive, but I think the judges were really impressed with the simplicity of the visualization that was created by the winning team. We were looking for new insight, and a lot of data is voluminous and really complex sometimes. So the way that this team was able to create a visualization out of heaps of data and make it accessible to the public was a huge factor there.
Alana Marsili of USAID is my guest, talking about their first open data hackathon. How did you decide how you wanted to structure it in the first place and decide that this was, you talked a little bit about how you decided this was the issue that you wanted to focus on, but I mean, this certainly isn't the only tremendously challenging issue that USAID is trying to deal with. What was the process like by which you narrowed it down to this was where the focus of your first one was going to be?
So a couple reasons. That's a great question. It was a lot dependent on the data that was coming into us. So since we just released the policy, we're kind of nascent in the process, and we're receiving a lot of the data. It's going through the clearing process. You can actually visit our data at usaid.gov/data. And so one of the data sets that had come to our attention was the public opinion data, and we felt it was rich. And there had been people in the agency also working on social media analytics. and using that as a proxy to, you know, every 2 years collecting this public opinion data, it can be costly. So we thought, you know, now that we have this kind of project that's happening within the agency, we've got this rich data that we're releasing, this might be a good development area to focus on.
How does this hackathon fit with the broader open data initiative all across government, also specifically within your agency, and with the goals that you have for making more data more available and seeing people use it for a variety of purposes?
Sure. I think that an event like this is great because sometimes I think data literacy in general, or understanding the ways that you can use data and its effectiveness, is sometimes at a disconnect. You know, simply put, a picture is worth 1,000 words. So you've got all of these numbers, and if somebody's new to data, I think communicating impact that it can have, use cases, the viability of being able to access a map or a picture, I think making those connections really helps to contribute to the data movement. And then in the broader term, what we're hoping is that this will begin a community of engagement, and that as these projects build out and we are starting to see more impact, across the government from open data, that it'll really contribute to the revolution that everybody's talking about.
How much of the success of data visualization, Alana, do you think is interpreting the numbers or the information that's contained in the data? And how much of it is constructing the visualization mechanism so that when somebody looks at it, they get it? Or are maybe those two the same thing in one, and I'm just trying to open my mind up a little bit more about the concept of visualization?
Yeah, that's a really interesting question. I think that they're not mutually exclusive. And I think that also if you get a good team, if you're a coder or a back end person and you really understand the numbers, you don't necessarily need to be a designer. Mm-hmm. And so I think that's one of the things that you see if you have a hackathon, you bring together all of these different skill sets. So people are allowed to kind of shine in their data area. Even if you're a policy expert, you know, you can have a coder and a visualizer that don't really understand what the issue is that you're trying to get at. So there is a need for, you know, a policy expert or an academic to be in the room to guide them. And so I think kind of what we're seeing in open data is really the utility of having various players at the table.
How do you take visualizations like this and apply them to make management decisions, Alana?
That's something that we're exploring. So, you know, one of the things that, you know, you can do with the Guatemala project is that provides a baseline. So we have all of this data and we've maybe seen it in charts and graphs, but now we've got infographics that kind of really show us all of the facets of that data set. And then it provides a good testing mechanism. You know, can we go down there and run a project on that baseline? So we're seeing that El Salvador has the highest perception of violence. So then what does that actually mean for the community? So I think taking these visualizations to direct decision makers is helpful. And then in monitoring and evaluation, Google Trends, social media, creating, you know, sentiment analysis buckets and really looking at, can this be a more timely and more cost-effective proxy, is something that a lot of people are asking, and this can be further developed.
Alana, your enthusiasm indicates that you're satisfied at least with the results of the first one. How will you apply what you learned from this process to do more in the future, and how might you make them different, tweak them, whatever, the subsequent hackathons that you do?
Sure. So I really see open data and these projects as a continuum. The engagement page is usaid.gov/open/engagement. And I've left, there's these things called hackpads. They're essentially just a shared document, like kind of like a Google Doc, but it allows the public into them. And so I've left every project open for engagement and shared thought because, I mean, our mission statement is we partner. We want to continue to partner with the public on these projects. And we hope to continue to look at data as a tool. So maybe it's a hackathon, maybe it's a focus group. So really kind of, you know, the limit with what you can do with open data is your imagination. So really leaving it open, I think, is kind of the direction that we're heading.